Welcome to another edition of the Rowan InfoBytes podcast series. This week I am joined by Cara McFadden, one of our technical services scientists at our biofarm Rowan, and we are going to be talking about the mycotoxin analysis in edible insects. So welcome to another episode of the Rowan InfoBytes podcast series. This week we are joined by Cara. Cara, can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Hi there, I'm Cara. I'm a technical services scientist in RBR.
Perfect. So hopefully you've been listening to our podcasts and know that we start with a little icebreaker, just an anecdote about food, whether it be a funny story, a good story, a bad example of food, anything that you might want to share.
I'll start with a little funny story. So when I was younger, I was quite a fussy eater. I wasn't very good at eating the school lunches. And I used to go to school with a packed lunch. But one day, Mom sent me to school to get the school lunch. And you don't get a selection, you just get given what's on the kind of menu that day. So that day was macaroni cheese, which when I was younger was my worst nightmare.
Okay.
So we were always made to eat our lunches, show our tray before we went out to play. And the day we were playing skiffing. So I was obviously really excited to go out and play. But being a fussy eater, I couldn't eat the macaroni. So instead of eating it, I just put it in my pocket, in my blazer pocket. And when I got home, my mum was obviously very angry that I'd ruined my blazer, but I got out to play. So that was the most important thing for me then when I was 10.
Do you know what? I've got a young son, and that's the kind of thing I could imagine finding in his pockets is food and all sorts of things.
At the time, you think it's just the most reasonable thing to do, but thinking back, so bad.
Macaroni is quite an unusual one not to like, because that's, again, something a lot of children do eat.
Yeah, well, now it's actually one of my favourite dishes, but back then I just hated cheese. But
anything to get out to play.
Exactly.
Which is also quite funny, because today's topic that we're going to be talking about is edible insects.
Yep.
In 2003, there was new EU legislation that was introduced, which authorised the use of house crickets as a novel food. But mycotoxin contamination in this should be considered. Now, obviously, that's something you have been tasked with in the technical services department, is to look at methods for this. But firstly, why might mycotoxin actually be found in these edible insects?
So the main reason is that the edible insects tend to eat the crops that are contaminated. That's the kind of main source of the mycotoxins in the insects. The other source is when they are growing insects for putting in food places. They will give them feed, and some of the feed can be contaminated. So the other kind of two main sources of it is them eating the crops that are contaminated, and contaminated feed given to the insects.
Okay, so technically if they're eating crops, you know, I suppose various cereals and different things, they could really have the potential to have any of the mycotoxins there.
Yes, definitely, yes.
Okay, so yeah, as I said, you've been tasked with developing a method for this, which I can imagine was quite challenging. And we've been looking at methods using our 11 plus Myco MS prep, which looks at the sort of six major legislated mycotoxins. Can you tell me a bit more about the method that you've finally selected and sort of your route to getting to that method?
Of course. So I was given the lovely task of validating the insects, which is quite funny because I hate insects overall. I'm scared of spiders and everything, but I've got the lovely task of that. So we had done quite a few tests to find the best method, and what we found is water methanol extraction is the best. With insects, they've got quite high protein content. So we found that we have to do a two-part extraction. So we do a water extraction, give it a good mix, and then after a while we put in some methanol, give it another mix. Then after that we give it a filter, we pH adjust it, we give it another filter, we dilute, and then we run it through an immunoaffinity column.
Okay.
Then when we collect the we collect the LU and we analyse that on LCMS,
yep.
Because it's for 11 toxins, of course. We couldn't do HPLC in this situation. It's better to use LCMS just because the number of toxins we're analysing for.
Yep.
But the main reason for the two-part extraction is because the protein content in insects is pretty high. So we just have to give it that time to fully come out of the actual insects.
So what's the wash buffer that you use in the method?
So in the method we use 0.1% tween and PBS.
Okay.
And the reason for this is because our edible insects, they're quite complex matrices. They've got quite a lot of protein in them.
Yep.
They've got quite a lot of unsaturated fat in them. That's kind of what draws people to them. And as a result, We have to use the tween to give it a good wash. It's quite unusual to use tween in a LCMS method as the wash.
Yep.
But the reason for this is, as I said, it's quite complex matrices for testing, and they're quite highly pigmented as well. So it's just one of those things that's to get rid of all the dye and all the kind of additives before we eventually collect it and put it on the LCMS.
Yeah, so essentially helping to get you a better chromatogram at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And obviously helping, you know, the more rubbish you remove from the chromatogram, the better the LODs.
Exactly. It gives us better results overall. So yeah, it's good.
So what are your typical kind of recoveries that you're getting with this method?
So with this specific method we're trying to validate, we're getting over 70 for majority of analytes. There's a couple of analytes we're getting some little issues with, like B1, we're getting about 65%.
Okay.
But that's the lowest we've seen. Some of the analytes, including H2T2, we're getting about 100%. So out of the 11 analytes, we're getting about 10 over 70, and one's just a little bit below, but we're at very low levels for the edible insects. Yep, so it's overall pretty high recoveries for what we're testing.
I think for the number of mycotoxins there, you know, results are excellent.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of optimization's gone into it. As you said, results are very encouraging
so far.
What things are they that you know, customers might need to consider if they are analysing this new matrix?
So one thing I would say is it's obviously a new matrix, so there's not a lot of papers out there for it. So it's one of these things that if you go to develop a method for it, you're not going to have that much resources to use.
Yep.
For example, when I was doing my method development for this, I tested two paper methods.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. And when I tested them, they didn't work for our matrices that we've been testing in our lab.
Okay.
So that's one thing you've got to consider. The other thing is, as I said previously, it's really high protein content in the insects. This can make it really difficult. I tried lots and lots of methods with high percentages of solvent, and a lot of them didn't work. We've somehow managed this one method's the only one that seems to work.
Yep.
So the high protein content gives you kind of two oily layers.
Okay.
And that can give you really inconsistent results. You can repeat it like day in, day out and get different results each day. So the high protein content is definitely something you really need to watch. And the final point I would say is the cleanup method for this is essential. I recently just did, as part of the validation, a kind of dilute and shoot method, which you basically just extract and then put it on the LCMS. Mm-hmm. And for that, using this method, the same extraction method, just not the immunoaffinity column.
Yep.
And with that, we got recoveries down at 15-20% for all analytes. The chromatography was really, really bad. You couldn't analyse peaks and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of proven that the immunoaffinity columns really, really work for this method, just because of how complex the samples are.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously, technical services are part of the marketing team, and I think we collaborate quite closely. So I think definitely watch out in our social media feeds over the next wee while to see some posters coming out and some information sort of informing our customers of all the work that you've done.
Yeah, definitely.
Going out and perhaps some posters, as I say, exhibitions and conferences in the coming year as well.
Yeah, it'll be good.
So perfect. Thank you for joining us in this edition of the Rhone InfoBytes podcast series. And that is us for another episode.
Thank you very much for having me.